Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, September 22nd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And as James said on the postgame pod, I know your Monday's just doing a little bit better because of Jordan Davis, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, yes, Kevin Petullo, Nick Sirianni, and that unbelievable comeback win on Sunday. Man, I've covered a lot of Eagles games. I've been lucky enough to cover this team for a long time. And in terms of memorable wins, that's going to be up there. I mean, dead in the water at halftime, come back in the second half, dead in the water again when it looks like it's a chip shot field goal to win the game. And not only does Jordan Davis block it, he runs it through the back of the end zone. Honestly reminded me of when I think it was Brandon Graham had the scoop and score against the Rams, ironically, in Los Angeles in 2017. And at that moment, we all thought a special season was going to continue. That was a game where Carson got hurt. And look, it's week three. They still got a long way to go to have a special season. But week three has been good to the Eagles in special years. 2017, Jake Elliott has a 61-yard field goal. 2024, Dallas Goedert has a 61-yard catch against the Saints. And in week three, 2025, Jordan Davis, 61-yard return. Unbelievable, actually, that they're all 61 yards. 61-yard return to pull back a win for the Eagles that seemed like it was never going to happen at halftime and then seemed like it was not going to happen after that field goal. But they come back, they win the game, and man, oh man, do we have a lot to talk about on this daily pod. So let's get right into it. On the schedule for today, Sirianni speaks at 3:15, as he does, you know, pretty much every Monday as my Siri goes off on my phone. But Nick Sirianni will speak at 3:15 today. Talk about the win. Talk about, just the unbelievable comeback and all those things. So we'll see what he has to say today at 3:15. From the injury report, obviously the three injuries from the game. Adoree Jackson left with a groin injury. We'll see if he's able to play next week. Darius Cooper with a shoulder injury. We'll see. They've been using him in some packages this season, but it wouldn't completely shock me if he ends up on IR and is more of a developmental year for him. And then, of course, the big injury, Lane Johnson leaves with a neck injury. According to Jeff McClain of the Inquirer, it's just a stinger, or at least Lane told him it was just a stinger and he should be able to play next week. That would make some sense with Lane being on the sideline for the game after leaving the game, being out there and being with his teammate. So overall, seems like pretty good news from an injury perspective for the Eagles. Of course, in game, Matt Pryor comes in. He really struggles. Fred Johnson comes in for him and really played outstanding. So good on Fred Johnson for coming in and really kind of, you know, being a big part of why they won the game and the offense was able to get going. But from an injury perspective, that's where we're at. And it looks like they'll be good to go for Tampa. All right, let's get right into it. And it would be foolish to start this pod anywhere other than where the game ended. And that is with Jordan Davis blocking that field goal. I feel like it's one of those plays where you'll always remember where you were when it happened, like where you were sitting on the couch, who you were sitting next to, like just all those things. For me, the vision I'll always remember is sitting up. I wasn't in my press box seat. I had gone to where I was going to record the pod, which is kind of higher up. Doesn't have as good of a view, but I'm looking. It's to my left. I'm looking and it's like, all right, here we go. They're about to kick it. And I'm like, oh my God, they blocked it. And then I will like always vividly remember the image of Jordan Davis, all 6'6", 300 pounds of him, whatever he is, sprinting towards the end zone. So just an unbelievable play. I didn't even get a chance to watch the actual play until I got home. So, you know, you watch the angle of it. He gets there. I mean, it's a clean block for him to block it and pick it up. Just simply unbelievable. So he was asked about the play, the big block after the game. And here's what he had to say.
Yeah, what
would
your mind on that block and run?
You know, it came down to just the technique and the fundamentals of everything. A lot of people look at field goal block as just another play, just another down, put your hands up, get off the field, check a box. But the way we talked about it on the sideline, we knew, especially off his last kick, we knew his angle. We knew his launch point when it's at the 30-yard line, somewhere around there. And we just hit the gap, put our hands up at the right time. And then I seen the ball on the ground, and then at that point, I knew it was a no-my situation, but we just took off from there. I wanted possession, so I wanted to make sure that we ended the game right. Didn't know I was going to go that fast. Didn't know I was going to make it all the way to the end zone. Just started running, and my legs carried me from there.
I thought what really stood out to me in that answer was that where he talks about, hey, some guys just take plays off when it comes to special teams and field goal. You put your hands up, you see what happens. He's talking in there about the angle, the launch point, what gap he was going to attack, the technique of it, the fundamentals. So in a game where the special team certainly had their downfalls, right, with the inability to catch a kick at pretty much any point, credit to Michael Clay. Like, that's a coaching answer right there, talking about the angle, the launch point, hitting the gap. But then also credit to Sirianni for having the players fighting hard on a special teams play. But most of all, credit to Jordan Davis for making that play and for being at a point where he could make the play. James made this point on the postgame pod, but for somebody where endurance has been the big talking point with him, being good late in games, his ability to make a game-saving play that late and sprint into the end zone, Jalen Carter joked afterwards that he probably could have run another 60 yards if he needed to. Unbelievable. So he was also asked about just the emotion of crossing the line, being in the end zone, and what it was like, and here's what he had to say.
When you cross the end zone, it's where the touchdown. You just kind of describe what's going through in your head at that time.
When I turned around, everybody was running towards me. So all I could do was just stand there and wait for them to come. Because if I try to run away, I was going to get moshed. But I think it's just my thing was just the fight that we had, that fight in that team, the drive, the hunger that they had, not being down, not being out of the game, fighting to the very end, clawing to the very end. I think that was something that when that hit me and I seen everybody, I was just like, man, like, what a way to end the game. What a way to end the game. And it started off as ugly as it could be. But at the end of the day, we got the W. And just to see the light on everybody's faces, like, if we would have came in and we didn't win the game like how we supposed to, it would have been all hell broke loose. But at the end of the day, it's easier to coach a game off a win than it is a loss. So I think that's just one thing that I can appreciate for the guys and the culture that we have is just the fight that these guys have, man. Like, you see it in everybody's eyes. Nobody was down. Nobody was out. We was frustrated, of course. But at the end of the day, we knew we had to fix it. We had to get it right. And then, lo and behold.
So first, it's funny, like, he's waiting for everyone. I mean, it was Keeley, Sidney Brown, Josh Uche, like, were guys that were behind him. And he outran them all to the end zone. I can only imagine the adrenaline in his body as he picked that ball up and was just running and realizing nobody was behind him. Like, should he have gone down? Probably. Nick Sirianni talked about that. But, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to do in that instance. The game's over. He's running. I mean, you're going to take a touchdown from the guy. I can't completely blame him. Yes, probably the smart thing to do is to go down there. But he doesn't go down. He makes the play. He gets the touchdown. But also, if you listen in there at that answer, like, he pivots to very quickly talking about his teammates, the fight we had. We never gave up. really impressive, I thought, press conference from Jordan Davis, who is becoming one of the better players on the team, certainly one of the better players on defense. I think it's now 3 weeks in a row he's been the best defensive player. Quinyon Mitchell was really good on Sunday. He deserves credit. Other guys, Zach Bond, obviously had a really big game. But Jordan Davis, much like Jalen Carter, we talk about Jalen Carter matters more than other players because of the position he plays. In the middle of the defense, he makes everybody better, the other 10 players. Jordan Davis is reaching that point. Like, he's getting doubled, which is helping the people around him. He's been outstanding against the run. He's an unbelievable hustle player. The play he had against Matthew Stafford where he chases him down and forces him out of bounds, ending a Rams drive, or at least essentially ending a Rams drive. And then, of course, the field goal blocks, two of them, in what, you know, again, if he doesn't block that first one, like, the Eagles are down after that touchdown. I mean, the game could have played itself out 100 different ways, but he essentially took 6 points away from the Rams. And if he doesn't score that touchdown, like, the Eagles lose that game. So, yeah, I mean, just he's been unbelievable. The amount of money he's making himself this season is pretty crazy. And he's been able to do it by through 3 weeks, at least being consistent and being able to make plays against the pass. So he was asked about his ability to be consistent, his goals. And here's what he had to say.
All offseason, you talked about wanting to be available and how showing up to training camp. How much to this point, you know, does that show the work that you put in? And what does today reveal about the work you put in?
My thing is just being consistent, stacking days, whether that's in practice or the game, stacking, being consistent. I don't want this to be a flash play. I don't want to be a flash play player. I want to be a, he's a every down guy. He has the ability to stop the run, stop the pass. And then at the end of the day, we let the chips fall where they lie. But I just want to make sure that I'm available on the field. And my role coming into this year was higher. They asked more of me. And you have to work a little bit harder to answer the call. And when you come in, and I feel like I came in shape during camp and just progressing through there through the season, like, you know, it's what they're asking me. I want them to do whatever it takes to win. And if that's required of me, I'm willing to do it. So you go out here, I could care less about how people feel about it. I know I feel great. And that's all it is, just coming in there, just working, being consistent. That's my big thing, is just being consistent.
So it does feel like every time he talks now, and I didn't play the clips, but like, he's asked about losing weight, like, props to him. I would love to work out for a year and then have everybody, every time they saw me, be like, oh my God, Elliot, how'd you do it? Like, you've gotten so skinny, like, every time I talked. But it's got to feel good for him. But even better has to be being a great player, being out there to help his teammates. And what I thought stood out in that answer was he said he wants to be an every down guy, stop the run, stop the pass, and be available on the field. And we talked all offseason and when they drafted him and the past few years that Jordan Davis would only reach his potential as an impact guy when he could impact the passer. And he is impacting the passer this year, whether it's because he's getting double teams, whether it's because he's winning and he's getting into the backfield, he's batting passes down. I think he has the most, or tied for the most batted passes in the NFL for defensive tackles. Like, he is making big time plays on passing downs. And that is the difference. So like, when we talk about why Jalen Carter is going to get paid, it's not because of what he does against the run. It's because of what he does against the pass. And through three games, Jordan Davis has been better than Jalen Carter. Doesn't mean he's a better player. Doesn't mean he'll have a better year. But when we talk about Jalen Carter getting like $140 million, might be time to start talking about Jordan Davis getting like a way more money than we initially thought. We've talked about them having to pay Jalen Carter, having to pay Nolan Smith, having to pay potentially Tyler Steen, like Reed Blankenship, guys like that. Jordan Davis might get his own big time paycheck this offseason. And like I said on the postgame pod, man, just super happy for him. Like, always been a great guy in the locker room, always been a great guy to talk to, always has a smile on his face, like, has definitely gone through some struggles in terms of weight loss and being in shape. And like, he's come out on the other side of it. And if that's not a guy you can root for, like, I don't know who is. So really, really excited for him. Really was cool to see those big plays. And man, he'll now live in an Eagles lure. Like, he lure. I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong. Lure. He will live in Eagles lure. Wow, you guys are all gonna laugh at me for that. But as just like a big time play. Like, we'll always remember that play. And I looked this up. Pretty crazy they're all 61 yards. The Jake Elliott field goal in week 3, 2017. The Dallas Goedert catch week 3, 2024 against the Saints, 61 yards. And this, also 61 yards. Pretty crazy. So, of course, it only came down to that because of the unbelievable second half comeback we saw from the team. You want to talk about a game of all the emotions. I was talking to someone after the game. on Sunday. And it's like, if they played like they did in the first half and the second half, it would be one of the ugliest weeks of Eagles football coverage we've seen. If they played like they did in the second half and that field goal gets made, it's probably like, all right, like moral victory, but man, that first half was bad and you'll have a fan base divided. Because Jordan Davis blocks that kick, it's going to be an unbelievable week for the Eagles. We'll certainly do a rewatch of the game and talk about how Jalen played and all that. But they are going to have a much, much better week at the NovaCare because of the fight that they showed. And so Nick Sirianni was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
Eagles stick with you more. The first half, I'm sure you'll think there's some things you got to clean up for that second half where you come back.
Yeah, you know, I'll always remember this win. You kind of similar to what you asked me about the Super Bowl. You'll always remember the good times there. I don't remember who asked me that, but you'll remember that those good times there, and it'll be a good moment to remember that. I still remember the Buffalo game from 23, but we got a lot to clean up. We got a lot to clean up, and tomorrow, you know, today we'll celebrate. Tomorrow, like, will be a normal Monday, right? It will be a normal Monday, and we'll get in there. We'll tell the truth to each other. And all in attempts to get better, because we have to get better. We know that. And there's a process to it. And so both those downtime, hard times, when you're in hard times, tend to teach you even more than when you're in successful times. And so it was sure as heck hard in the first half. They came out ready to play. I know we came out ready to play. It just didn't, it didn't work what we were doing. And, but I'm so proud of the guys that the fight that they have. We're on the ground and you can get counted out in those moments, like in boxing. But if you get up and keep fighting and keep swinging, you know, in this game, you always got a chance. And, you know, I urge them in the locker room just to remember that, you know, because you're going to go through hard times in life. You're going to go through hard times in football. And I just urge them to remember that when we're in another hard time. I urge them to remember that when they're in a hard time in their life, that you just keep getting up. And we got relentless guys in there. And we have relentless players. We have relentless coaches that just kept getting up. And when I think a lot of teams would have stayed down. And, part of that is the success that we have. Big part of that is the guys that Howie brings in here and the culture that we have, that we talk an awful lot about mental toughness and relentless effort, and there's something dangerous about a team that just doesn't stop coming after you regardless of the circumstances. So, you know, we got the win today on that, but I was proud of the guys that they just kept fighting. I'd have been proud of them if, you know, they made that last field goal as well, that they just kept fighting. Obviously this is a better feeling, but we got a lot to clean up.
Nick Sirianni, like, I don't think I can fully say he was close to tears, but he was emotionally exhausted. He kept rubbing his eyes. I thought at times he looked pretty emotional. Like, that really, really took it out of him. And really, it did a lot of players. Like, I thought Jalen, who will play some audio from him coming up, but, like, he seemed kind of emotionally exhausted. Howie Roseman walked through the locker room and sounded like he didn't have a voice. Like, you want to talk about having a guy run the team that probably cares as much as you do? Like, that guy had no voice. So he was clearly screaming, probably not great things in the first half, exciting things in the second half. But they fought. They absolutely fought. And again, last week, I said I thought Nick Sirianni was a better coach than Sean McVay. And one of the reasons I think Nick Sirianni is a better head coach than Sean McVay is not just because he also has a Super Bowl, not just because he's been to as many Super Bowls as McVay, not just because he wins all the time, not just because he beats him all the time. Those are certainly reasons why he's a better coach than Sean McVay. But I don't think Sean McVay's team wins that game like that. Like, I think if the Rams go down big like that, they just lose. Like, they wouldn't fight back. Sirianni's teams, for whatever you want to say about them, they fight back. Have they fought back every time? No. There's been some blowouts, right? The Bucs game in last year. Like, there's been ugly games. But with Nick on one side and McVay on the other, one team was clearly the tougher team. One team was clearly the mentally tougher team. And one team won the game while the other team completely choked it away. Just like completely choked it away. So when Nick talks about fighting and about like life lessons and things like that, I do think the Eagles, because of Nick as their head coach, are a tougher team than the Rams are because Sean McVay is their head coach. So a big time win for the Eagles, really showing the mental toughness. So The other topic of conversation that's going to come up from this game is AJ Brown. So AJ Brown afterwards talked at his locker. Obviously, AJ finally had a big game. And I say finally, I mean, they finally were able to get him the ball. Unbelievable in the second half, ran through people, gave them, I thought, an emotional boost with the way he ran with the ball once he had it, the big plays he made, the swagger he had after catches. And he talked about that. He said the big catch he had, the first one, like down the sideline, he talked about how God was on his side because he didn't even see the ball. But then once he had it, obviously kind of just dropped in his hands. And he was in a good mood after the game. But he did make one comment that I think is going to end up being a story this week. And it's about the offense needing to be less conservative. So here is AJ Brown talking about the offense needing to be less conservative.
Man, we got so many good players on this team, you know, and at times, you know, you can feel like we're being conservative, and I don't think it should be like that. You know, I think it should, you know, let your killers do their thing, you know, and play fast and play aggressive. I'm not saying that we haven't been, but you know, me personally, that's what I would like, you know.
So we're going to have to dive into this all week. Honestly, I haven't rewatched the game. I don't know if I can give an opinion yet on like them being too conservative, whether that's play calling, whether that's Jalen, whether Jalen needs to take more chances with the ball, like whatever it is, right? We've debated that. But this will end up being a story. And I think that it kind of highlights like the tough spot AJ Brown is in when he talks. And I said this on the pod earlier in the week, like sometimes I get hesitant to tweet out AJ Brown audio because I don't want to be the reason a quote of his like is taken out of context and blows up. Like later on, so we'll talk about his conservative comment more tomorrow once I've watched the game again and like we're able to really dive into it. But just get ready. Like I think this is going to be a story coming out of the game. So on a similar note, Nick Sirianni was asked about AJ Brown and talked about how proud he's been of AJ Brown throughout these last 2 weeks and like how he's handling stuff and, you know, said he's a good role model for kids. So here is Sirianni talking about AJ Brown.
Moment with AJ in there, what was behind that, and then what changed for him in the second half?
Yeah, I think one thing is that you don't have to live your life and as a team, as a football team, the way people think you should respond. I watched AJ Brown handle all your questions with as a great teammate and with grace. Obviously he wants the football. Obviously he needs to get the football. Obviously to do the things that we want to do, he's got to have the season that he's had the last couple years, the last 3 years when he's been second team all pro and went over 1,000 yards every time. That's the nature of the position. My nephew, you know, I'm not going to get into that, but you know, he had 2 touchdowns his first, game catching, and then he hasn't had many catches since. And it's like, of course every receiver wants the football. Of course every receiver wants to get the football. I mean, and so it's just a great example of like everybody wants immediate results, and we want immediate results, but there's a process to it. Like we don't have to live to what anybody else thinks except for what our standard is. And I always respect your guys' questions, but, you know, obviously he got asked a lot of questions this week where I've seen a lot of guys go a different way in that, and he handled every one of them that I saw with just so much grace, with so much maturity. And I know what someone's going to say, like, well, did he? And I'm like, yeah, he did. He said the right thing. Well, I know he wants the football, but he said the right things the entire week, and that's big for a team. Like I'm just really proud of how he's handled, you know, a slow start as far as stat wise. But he's doing the right things with the ball without in his hands to help find ways to win football games. And today we needed it with the ball in his hands, and so I just really think he handled it the way we want to handle things as a football team, where it's not about individuals. Like it's all over the place, right? Well, you're not getting yours. Well, we're a team. We find ways to win. Well, aren't you frustrated? Yeah. Obviously he wants the ball, but going back to work every single day, knowing that it's going to happen, right? And that's what a great example to kids all over the place, you know, and as our football team, that just keep doing the things, you know, keep going through the process, and good things will happen, you know. And obviously that's not the case for everyone. We have really good players, we have really good coaches, and you know, our job is, you know, again, a ton to clean up. But I just think that was a great example of, you don't have to conform to what anyone else thinks, what anyone else asks or questions. Just, you know, he's a great teammate through it all. And we know how important part of offense he is.
So you go classic Nick going like a little above and beyond. I wouldn't say AJ's done like an outstanding job answering the questions. Like, he certainly lets his frustrations be known. But when you consider he's one of the best receivers in the NFL, if not the best receivers in the NFL, and he had 35 yards catching the first 35 yards receiving the first 2 weeks, like, yeah, I guess you can say he handled it pretty well. And then obviously Nick has an internal view of him from, you know,
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He sees him in meetings, he sees him at practice, he sees all those things. So he must feel good about how AJ is handling that inside the building. So I'm sure AJ will appreciate hearing that. I'm sure mostly AJ will appreciate the fact they threw him the ball and he was able to make big plays. And that's really what it always comes down to, that AJ Brown, while he wants his numbers and he wants his hard work to pay off and he wants like to be involved the way he should be, I think he also knows that they're just a better team when they're passing the ball better and he's involved. And passing the ball better starts from a receiving aspect with him. Like, he's their best receiver. They win when he goes over 100 yards almost all the time. So I thought Nick giving AJ those props is something that will go over well with AJ and is something that he'll really appreciate when he hears. All right. On the other side, let's talk about Jalen Hurts, because there is never a game where Jalen Hurts is not the topic of conversation and is not somebody that everyone's going to have somewhat mixed opinions on. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines. Whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/2400 to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789 1-800-989-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Jalen Hurts had himself quite a game. And it is a game that will allow, you know, what are those things, like they're pictures you look at and you see what you want to see, or like if you see one thing, it like reinforces what you already believe. But if you see another, it reinforces what maybe someone else believed, like a Rigshar picture or something like that. But regardless, I think this game will perfectly allow you to see what you want to see with Jalen Hurts. Some people will watch this game and they will leave it and they will say, Jalen Hurts is holding the team back. We saw it in the first half. He's not good enough as a passer. Like, boom. Other people will watch this game and they'll leave it and they'll go, he always wins. He always fights. He never lets the game completely collapse. He won 19 games in a row. Like, that's what makes him elite. And I certainly fall more on that part of it, right? But there's no denying in the first half, Jalen Hurts really struggled. And I'm excited for the rewatch to like really see who was open, what he could have done, what was there. And for the second half, right? Like how he played. But in the first half, Jalen Hurts goes 4-for-8 for 17 yards and a 56.2 passer rating. And you want to talk about like ugliness. It was an ugly half of football. He didn't play well. The whole team didn't play well. The mood at the stadium was ugly. It was like really, really tense. And I think coming off of two games where I don't think he played great, and some people agree with me, some people don't, like there was built up frustration with how the offense looked against Kansas City and Dallas with how mad people were at the beginning of the game. I think if they would have scored 50 points each of the last two games, the frustration wouldn't have been there in the first half. But because they struggled, it got ugly quick down at the link. So Jalen Hurts, like I said, 4-for-8 for 17 yards, 56.2 pass rating in the first half. But in the second half, he absolutely lights them up and he ends the game 21 of 32, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 117.4 rating, and then adds in a rushing touchdown to go along with 40 yards. So 4 total touchdowns, does have the one turnover where he fumbles at the beginning of the third quarter. But absolutely unbelievable in the second half. Great passes, was aggressive, moved the ball up and down the field, was clutch on third downs, and just was really, really good. So Hurts sat down at the podium, and as he always did, kind of gave his opening statement about the win.
You know, let me just set the pace here. You know, when you look at a game like that, and you find you're able to...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Find a way to win. I know we're going to, you know, point the fingers and point our attention to what's going on the offensive side of the ball, but we won the game. We were gritty in the game. We stayed together as a team. We did not quit. Nobody gave up. And in competitive sports, that's what it's about. And I'm very proud of that. I'm not proud of how we started the game. I'm not proud of the flow in which we played, the execution and the focus that we had earlier in the game. But I am proud of everybody not giving up and everybody being determined to find a way to win the game. And there wasn't a doubt in my mind that someone was going to make a play on that field goal, especially looking at those two Georgia guys lined up next to each other. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, we were going to look back and be very critical of ourselves, and that's what we would be. And we're very eager to grow, you know, as always, but there's a lot to learn from, a lot to learn from, a lot to learn from, you know, sometimes, and there's a lot to learn from. And I say you either win or you learn, right? But when you win and you feel like you got a lot to learn, you need to come on with the come on.
So one thing that came out of this game that I noticed a lot on social media was, well, in the second half, Kevin Petullo wasn't involved. And in the first half, it was all Petullo. In the second half, it was all Jalen. And we can't fall into that trap that we did in 2023. We can't do the whole thing where it's like, Brian Johnson called the bad plays, Jalen Hurts ran the good one. And it called and ran the good plays. So like, I've made it very clear over the past 2 weeks, I think it's always Jalen. For better or worse, it's always Jalen. So coming out of this game, like, I think Jalen deserves a ton of credit. Like, absolutely. He was unbelievable in the second half. I think this game shows why he is a top five quarterback. Whether you're one on that first camp where you're like, the passing game wasn't great, he wasn't good. Like, that can be true. Like, that can be true. And the other part can be true as well, that it's almost impossible to beat him. Now we'll bring up the team around him. We'll bring up the coaches. Like, that's things people will point to. But when it comes to being the most important player on the team, he makes his team borderline impossible to beat. And people go, well, if Jordan Davis doesn't block the kick, they don't win. True. But like, there's a billion things that happen in a game. And it seems like when Jalen's at quarterback, the team always comes away with the win. And so Jalen deserves a ton of credit for that game. He is a top five quarterback. All those things are true. But what we shouldn't take away is the role Kevin Petullo had in the game. And I only bring that up to say, like, people have been ripping this dude for 2 weeks. And now, in the first half, like, everyone wanted him fired. And so, like, this offensive turnaround in the second half, it can't be Kevin Petullo's fault in the first half, but not Kevin Petullo at all in the second half. And in fact, Nick talked about it, but Jalen did as well, and talked about collaborating with Kevin Petullo on the second half. And here's what he had to say about Petullo.
Did he help the offense to go up-tempo a little bit, go no huddle, especially after your first possession when you had to turn over?
I think it's important as offense in general to make it about what you do as an offense and not necessarily the opponent. Exotic looks you may get, there may be someone who chooses to attack us in a certain way, and it's about having the built-in things to respond to those things when they come. Playing within the system, playing within your roles, playing within what you're coached to do, and making sure that we're coached to execute it in a advantageous and high leverage way, but also just playing within ourselves. And I think in the second half, you know, when pressure was as high as it was, you know, we kind of just let it loose and went out there and played. And that's the brand of football we played along the years for a long time. So I don't necessarily want to make it harder than what it is. We just got to go out there and execute and play the style of football that we know we can play. And the beautiful part about it is, we've been able to play and win in multiple ways, right? We've been able to play defensive games, play well on defense, and protect the ball and win games. We've been able to be very efficient and potent and have a lot of fireworks on offense over time and find ways to win games. We've been able to come back from very, very ugly situations, and it's a dangerous thing. And Coach Sirianni, I'll say, you know, he talks about it's a dangerous thing when a group never gives up. And this group never gave up. And that's what I'm very proud of. And I think a win like this is encouraging. but it also lights a fire into everybody to strive for the level of execution that we want. You know, we talk about playing for a standard. The standard isn't to produce or to have this, you know, numbers or certain statistics. It's to execute whatever we're asked to do. And I don't think we did that in the first half. I think we kind of changed our approach in the second half, and that definitely helped us weather throughout the game and make plays the way we did. But it's about execution, you know, in this game. And the way I learned football from Coach Saban, it's about playing to a standard. We play to win. We also play to play to a standard. And so we can't lose sight of what that is, given all the things that we've been able to do.
So the big change that the offense made in the second half was going up-tempo. And why was up-tempo effective? Well, first of all, it allowed them to play a little freer, right? You're not like the playbook is watered down. You're going up to the line. You know what you're doing. Like, it's less thinking. You can just go out there and just the talent takes over. Jalen's talent takes over. AJ's talent takes over. Saquon's talent takes over. So they went up tempo and they kind of were able just to be themselves. And Kevin Petullo deserves credit for that. Like, Jalen deserves credit for it because the plays that are run, the playbook, all those things, like, that starts with him. And he has to agree to go to the up tempo. So, like, Jalen deserves credit for up tempo. But so does Kevin Petullo. And so we haven't talked to Kevin Petullo. He didn't talk till Tuesday. So Jalen talked about the benefits of going up tempo, and here's what he had to say. I thought the line in there that was interesting from Jalen was the make it about what you do as an offense and not necessarily the opponent, end quote. Like, maybe they came out trying to do too much to combat what they expected from the Rams in the first half as opposed to just coming out and doing what they're good at. But regardless, once they went to up-tempo, it was obvious they were a way better offense, and it got things going. Now, you can't run up-tempo all game, every game, ask Chip Kelly, but it was a really, really good in-game adjustment from Kevin Petullo. So if you're listening to this and you're going, you're giving Petullo too much credit, he's terrible, the playbook's vanilla, like, that's just not true. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm in the building. I can tell you they don't feel that. I think they think that, like, ultimately, between the coaches and players, they know they'll get the job done. And, like, Kevin Petullo is not viewed as a problem there. So I think that it was a good day for the offense. I think it was, hopefully they learned something about themselves that will help them next week against Tampa. But, you know, I mentioned Nick Sirianni was emotionally exhausted after the game and that Jalen, I thought, kind of seemed emotionally exhausted. He had this answer at the end that I wanted to end the pod with. But just, like, while you're listening to this, picture Jalen smiling, because Jalen smiled like one of the biggest smiles I've seen him have since he became the quarterback when giving this answer. When Jalen talked about what he learned from the team.
You said today was very revealing about this team. You've been with most of this group for a while now. When you have days like this, what do you learn about this group and your teammates?
It's exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's exciting because, you know, you can look back on the game and say, you know, what play will it be? Will this come back and bite us? You know, you can think of all of these things and try and rationalize what happened or why something happened. Ultimately, when you stay in the moment and you play each play as its own, and just go out there and give it your all. Show when the moment needs you to. Man, ain't another group of guys that I want to play with when it comes to that. Because there's never a doubt. There's never a quit. And there's always that sense of fight to try and figure it out. And so, you know, we've been talking about taking pride in winning. We take pride in this game, as ugly as it was, and as beautiful as it ended. You know, that's the agony and ecstasy of the game of football, you know, and we learn from it all. We learn from it all, but always, always great to learn after a win.
It's exciting. It is. Like, say what you want. The offense has struggled at times. The passing game hasn't been great. It's not been a great three games of football, but they're 3-0. They are 3-0. And I was critical of them last week, even though they won. I think there are going to be times they win where it's time to be critical. But in a game where they fought hard, Jalen was clutch when it mattered, the defense stepped up, the defense made plays, the special teams made plays. Like, this 2025 team is still learning to play together and is still learning and, like, going through things together. It's not the 2024 team. And this is a game they can look back on later in the year and go, Remember we were down all those points to the Rams and we came back? Like, let's do it again. But if they play their potential, there probably will not be many games where they are down that much. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Go out. Enjoy your Monday. Like James said, it's a better Monday for you all because the Eagles have won. Excited to go through another week with you guys. We'll have the rewatch report card tomorrow. We'll have stuff Sirianni says on Monday. Let Bucks week begin. So that'll do it for the Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait. You mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.